born in 1592 in the Highlands of Scotland, and he is still alive. He is immortal, constantly facing other immortals in combat to the death. The winner takes his enemy's head, and with it, his power. We know the truth about immortals. In the end, there can be only one. May it be Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 5, Episode 8, Little Tin God. And here to talk with you, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis. Over there, that's the Audie Norman. Audie, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. It's been pretty relatively quiet week. Last weekend, we had a friend over that tested positive after they left, so we've been just kind of doing our thing. After the 5 days or so, we tested, me and my wife, with PCR tests were negative, so it looks like we skirted it. So
good.
Been laying low for the most part and just doing what we can do.
Yeah, and no ill effects of the hurricane so far for you. You're far enough north, just maybe some extra rain.
Yeah, I think the forecast is we'll feel some of the rain and the winds, especially on Thursday, and then we'll start getting good rain Thursday evening into Friday for however long.
Stuff's no joke, man. Anybody that's on the, especially. Like, this one's supposed to go up the west coast of Florida, which the Gulf side doesn't get it nearly as often. So don't be a hero. Get out of there. Trust me.
Yeah. And, you know, I threw it up on Twitter. If anybody listens to this on Thursday and you still need somewhere to go, hit me up. We're in Macon, Georgia, so we're not too far.
Luckily, you're far enough north. I'm not worried about you, but I know we both know a few people that are down that way that, you know, just be careful, everyone.
Yeah, hurricanes. I threw out the bad signal on the socials, so.
Good. All right, well, we got a step up this week. This episode, I did remember this episode. As I got going, I remembered it more, but I kind of remembered, like, the basics of it, but it had been a while since I'd seen it, so it was sort of filling in some of the details and who was in it and kind of I knew the basic story beats.
I didn't remember this one at all, but.
Oh, okay.
Dang, this was a good one.
Well, we took a step up. We've got some great work from special guests, some interesting flashbacks, returning special guests, which we'll talk about. However, tradition dictates. We have a Watcher Chronicle. We got to listen to that first. So let's listen to that, and then we'll talk about this episode.
All right.
November 18th, 1996. Well, it seems we may have a new immortal to keep tabs on. Dawson didn't give me much to go on, just the name Derek and the fact that he was killed recently, and most likely in this area. Wait, wasn't there something in the newspaper yesterday about a young man shot outside of a church? I'd better get down to the library and see what I can dig up. Something tells me this will end up being a bigger deal than just a new immortal.
All right, so we open up at a church, and we slowly work our way inside, and the choir's there singing, and they're feeling the spirit, and everything's going great. And in the
playing an organ, and it sounds like a piano.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The organ sounds like a piano. The voices are clearly dubbed, but hey, whatever. They're feeling it. Things are going great. And in the back of the church, sitting in one of the pews, is somebody who stands out a bit. He looks intense. Long hair, eyes that stare right through you. And he's just staring at one of the people in the choir, one of the young men in the choir. So as everyone's leaving, the one young man, Derek, heads out onto the road. He's walking down the street when we see the guy that was sitting at the back of the church pull up in a car, pull out a revolver, and just shoot him in the street. And stand there, or sit there in the car long enough for the reverend to come out of the church, see everything, stare at him, and then drive away.
Like, right.
This is somebody that
good job, dude.
Does not care at all. So this happens. The Reverend kind of sees him, and then we cut to the morgue, and there's body on the slab, and in walks this same guy, but now he's wearing white robes.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks over and he says a little bit of scripture and he lays his hands down on the body and the body wakes back up and he tells Derek, that's the young man on the slab, that he has brought him back from death and he has chosen him to help him in his fight against his enemy and that he is God.
Right.
And then we go to the credits. So coming back from our opening credits, Duncan's out for a jog.
Mm-hmm.
When suddenly he feels the presence of an immortal. A guy jumps out at him, sword in hand, ready to go, and Duncan's like, I'm Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod, and the guy's just like, I know who you are, and he attacks him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Duncan fights him off, as Duncan does, apparently has his ragtop on the T-Bird by remote control, because he clicks the remote, yep. And the T-Bird starts to do that, and he jumps into the back of it, grabs his sword, when two more guys jump out at him with swords.
Mm-hmm.
So now Duncan is very confused. He's like, this is against the rules. You guys can't do this. And they're like, what rules, Satan? And
I loved when they said, this isn't a game. And I'm like, I hate to break it to you.
Well, they're not listening to him. They chase after him. Duncan eventually gets the drop on Derek, specifically. Doesn't want to hurt him, takes his sword, walks him to holy ground, to a cemetery nearby, and then starts to talk to him. Derek is like, no, I know who you are. You're Satan. You're the devil. And Duncan's like, I'm who? And he goes, yeah. Look, you know, he doesn't get, like, Duncan's figuring out that this guy doesn't know anything about immortals, doesn't know what he is.
Right. And
while he's talking to him, the other two show up. Again, Duncan's like, we can't fight here. This is holy ground. You cannot fight here. And that's when God shows up. And Duncan recognizes him, says his name is Larka, and then we get a flashback.
Yep.
Coming out of our flashback, Duncan tells the young men that this isn't God. He's an immortal, like they are, like he is. They're a little confused. They're looking at him kind of questioning, and Larka's like, all right, everybody out. Go away. Let the adults talk. Kind of thing. And then he tells MacLeod that he will have one of his disciples take his head, and then that man, that the one that kills him, will offer his head up to Larka.
Right.
All of this because Duncan took his people from him and destroyed everything he is. Basically, he wants revenge.
Which we'll get into, but I really appreciated that one little line of like, hey, here's something we didn't show you in the flashback yet. Get ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we cut to this abandoned chapel. And Larka is in there, and he's got the three young men, and he's admonishing them for failing to kill MacLeod, for failing to kill his enemy. Kind of showing his vengeful God side. It's very angry. Derek actually questions why MacLeod didn't kill him. He's the first one to sort of show cracks of, like, I'm not sure about what's going on here. And Larka is like, no, it's because I willed it not to happen.
And, of course,
you know, he's twisting everything to fit his narrative. So he tells them that they will kill Duncan. Back at the bar, Duncan's talking with Joe. And we're getting some backstory on Larka. So Larka's been around since. Oh, go ahead.
And some interesting watcher talk, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved this. So Larka's been around since roughly the early 1500s, they figure. He was a lawyer. He became a royal guard. He was a pirate. I love the line where Duncan's like, how do you watch a pirate? And Joe's just like,
exactly.
You become a pirate.
Right.
And it was great because, like, it's one of those things that Duncan just never really thought about.
Mm-hmm.
He just assumed they were all like Dawson. And I got a kick out of that. So we find out that Larka had traveled to Peru with Pizarro. And about 18 months after they landed in Peru, he just disappeared. And the assumption was that some local tribe of headhunters must have gotten him. And Duncan says, well, not really.
he got them.
Yep. And we get a second flashback where we learn a little bit more about what happened while Duncan was there, which we will get to.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the shakeups in the Watchers over the past couple of years, they just didn't get a full-time person on Larka. He's shown up a little bit here and there, but for the most part, no one's seen him for a couple hundred years. Then Dawson asks Duncan if that kid really would have attacked him in the cemetery on holy ground. And Duncan's like, yeah, they were ready to. And he starts to lament, like, man, I can't imagine what would happen if they did.
And we get
one of the best bits of world building and just
lore building. I've been waiting for it.
Yes. And it's Joe saying that in all of their recorded history, they have one instance of an immortal killing another immortal on holy ground. And Duncan's like, what? Really? He goes, yeah. It was a couple of guys fighting in a temple in Italy. And go on. I love Duncan at this point because he's fascinated.
Duncan's like, what?
And Joe just tells him, yeah, it was in Pompeii, 79 AD. And Duncan's like, the volcano. And I love it too because Dawson says all this and then he's not 100% committed to like that's what made the volcano erupt, but that's a pretty big coincidence, right?
Yeah.
And I just love that. It was great, and then they move on from it. And I love that moment, that exchange between the two of them was so good.
Yeah.
So Duncan is like, all right, I got to find out some more information. And then he remembered that the one kid's name was Derek. So he wants to go find out more about him. And Joe's like, all right, I'll check the obituaries. He's obviously new, probably got to be in this area. We'll try to get some info. So we cut back to the church we saw in the opening, and there's Derek in there, and he's singing. Again, obviously dubbed over, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But he's singing, he's confused, he's like, he's crying. The Reverend walks in, who of course is like, how can you be here? And they start to have a heart-to-heart. Derek is kind of questioning what's going on, because here he is, he's got a lot of faith, he believes.
Yep.
And Reverend Bell is telling him, like, you were dead, but if you got brought back, it's for a reason. You know, God brought you back for a reason. You're a good person. And Derek is like, are you sure about that? Because I talked to God, and he told me to kill someone. And the Reverend's like, they're going back and forth a little bit. There's a lot of crisis of faith happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And while this is all going on, Derek gets the buzz, and in walks Duncan. And Reverend Bell is like, hold on, you can't be here. Leave the kid alone. And Duncan's just like, I just want to talk to him. I'm not going to hurt him. He goes, look into your heart. Tell me and see if it lets you believe me. And the Reverend believes him. So he leaves the two of them inside. Duncan tries to talk to him. Meanwhile, over where Larka is, he's got the other two disciples. And he's like laying out his plan of getting McLeod one-on-one. One of them's going to sacrifice themselves to McLeod, and then McLeod will kill them, but then he'll kill McLeod. It's convoluted. But
right.
He's got a system in play that these guys don't really understand, that they're just pawns. So Duncan's talking to Derek, and he's trying to explain what immortals are, what Larka is, that Larka is not God, that he didn't bring him back to life, that he's using Derek. And Derek is still very confused because he wants to believe everything that Larka has been telling him about his resurrection, right?
Right.
And this is important to him. He doesn't want to listen to Duncan. He eventually just kind of pushes past Duncan and runs out. Duncan, in trying to go after him, gets stopped by the Rev. And Reverend Bell says, all right, what did you say to him? What's going on here? And Duncan tries to get away with not telling him, like, look, I just can't tell you. And the Reverend Bell will not give up. And finally, Duncan's like, okay, let's go inside. I'll tell you. And he starts to mention immortals. And Reverend Bell just stops. He's like, you know what? We need to go somewhere where I can get a drink. And so we cut over, and there they are. They're at Joe's bar. So now we've got,
I love this.
Good Reverend Lord. Bell, Joe Dawson, and Duncan sitting around, and they are explaining immortals to him. And to his credit, he takes it well.
Yeah, he does.
But they're giving him, he's giving the explanation of who Derek was, where Derek came from, that he was just kind of a kid on the streets. He wound up at the church. He had a lot of faith, a lot of singing ability, he's a good person. They took him in, and then everything had happened. and Dawson and McLeod are giving him the rundown about immortals and Larka specifically, to which Reverend Bell is like, this guy's got to be stopped. Like, he's causing all sorts of problems. Joe found out that Larka's got a, he's renting that, that old chapel out by the cemetery that we've seen him in. So, which Bell happens to be there to hear. So Duncan assures Reverend Bell that he is going to, take care of things. And offers to give him a ride home. Reverend Bell's like, nah, I'm gonna walk. So yeah, he walks right over, grabs a gun and a machete and heads to the chapel. So Reverend Bell goes to the chapel with the intent to take out Larka, because now he knows that taking his head will kill him, and he believes that he can talk to Derek and the other two kids and get things taken care of. So he goes inside. Derek, of course, is confused to see him there. Larka wants him stopped. He does shoot at Larka, but one of the other kids, Enrique, jumps in front of the bullet. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, Enrique and Luke are
no,
the
No,
other
no, no,
two.
No. No. Derek stepped in front. The Reverend never got a shot off.
No, he did. He shot Enrique. So he shoots Enrique, then Derek steps in front of him because he's about to shoot Larka again, and Derek steps in front and stops him. And Larka comes up, takes the gun, and then says, all right, take the Reverend.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he tells him, take the Reverend out beyond the cemetery. And so all of them go out. And he makes a big show of reviving Enrique in front of everybody again. Which all that tells us as Highlander fans, he knows the timing. Which, credit to him.
He's smart.
Sick move.
Yeah, very smart.
So he revives Enrique. And during the initial struggle, before Derek stepped in front, Larka tried to grab Luke and have him use him like a human shield. And Luke fought back and kind of got out of the way.
Right.
So after reviving Enrique, he turns on Luke and basically says, I'm going to absolve you, wash away your sins, and takes his head.
Yep.
Which happens to be right around the time that McLeod shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So McLeod, seeing the lightning from the quickening, he's like, oh, they're not in there. They're over there.
Yep.
So he heads out there. After the quickening, Larka picks up the pistol and is ready to shoot Reverend Bell.
Mm-hmm.
But now Derek steps in front of him. Derek doesn't want this to happen, so he's trying to stop it. And Larka shoves him out of the way and is ready to shoot the Reverend Bell and kill him when Duncan arrives, tackles him.
Yes.
And tells everybody else to get out of there. Derek stops, I think it's Luke. No, Enrique from joining the fight.
Right.
And this was the great one, is he has that line where he says, if you're God, you don't need our help.
Right.
And the two immortals fight.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's kind of the rundown. We'll keep going over more, but first, we have special guests this week, and there's some good ones.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Look around, McLeod. For 300 years, I have protected them. Kept them hidden from the likes of Cortes and those other butchers. They survived because of me. They have become strong and remain free.
They may be strong, but they're not free. They are slaves.
So our special guests this week, we have a couple, and I want to start with Andrew Divoff as Gavriel Larka. This is not our first time seeing him. You may remember he was the most Canadian of criminals in Bad Day at Building A.
Right.
He won our Maple Leaf Award from season one as the most Canadian of Canadians, despite the fact that he is not Canadian. It was just that accent he was doing. And this time around, he's doing kind of Portuguese-ish.
Yeah.
But also a little Spanish. Not really sure what he was going for there. Look, he's tons of fun because he's just campy and over the top, and I love that about him.
Yeah.
He is most known to people probably as the Djinn from Wishmaster, was kind of his big one. He did a lot of that kind of stuff, in the 90s, and seems to play a lot of characters that wear eye patches, I noticed.
Yeah.
Very, and he's not averse to wearing a lot of prosthetics and makeup.
Yep.
Doing some very, he's got an interesting voice because he can do.
Yes, he does.
He does a lot of accents, and I don't want to say that they're bad. They're not maybe, they're very cartoonish, I would say. They're over the top. They're they're like stage acting accents.
Yeah.
But he commits to them, and he stays in that accent the whole time.
Yes. He is consistent, which is what you want. Even if it's not the greatest accent, if you're at least consistent with it, you can believe he's that whatever affected his voice.
Yeah, if your Russian accent is going to be Boris Badenov, I'm fine with that. Just stick with it and let it be that all the way through. And that I give Andrew Dvorak credit for that.
And I'll say again, the one movie I always associate with him is Toy Soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great movie. And like I said, reflected a lot of what Bad Day and Building A felt like at the time. So
yes. Yeah, and you know, he's a good foil for Duncan, this character of Larka. He's very just over the top and campy, and this episode really needs that.
Yeah.
It needs that to offset other story points. I think my only complaint is going to be that we had more focus on Larka than the episode really demanded. And it was at the loss of just getting to explore some other things that I think could have been more interesting, but I also kind of understand where they're going or why they did what they did.
If anything, that's like a super nitpick of this episode.
Oh,
because
super nitpick.
So much of it is so good, but I agree. There's some points where it's like, yeah, you know, we didn't need all that and could have done some more. We didn't need to see Duncan running like half a mile before we got on him, you know.
Yep, but yeah, Andrew Dvorak is great. Roger Cross plays Derek, a young Roger Cross. And he was the one that I had forgotten was in this one. And Roger Cross, you might not know him, his name, but you have seen him in something, and you have heard his voice in something. He's all over the place. He is, like, he will show up in a movie or a TV show. It might be for a couple of episodes. He was in like half a dozen episodes of The X-Files as different characters, like background characters and stuff.
I knew him from watching 24. That's where I first knew him, recognized him, started noticing him. And then you look at his IMDb and you're like, holy crap, this dude has been working like crazy for years.
Yeah, he's all over everything. I mean, 24 was a big one that he was on a lot of. He's also got, I remember him in a couple episodes of Fringe popping up, and he was just... he's got a very smooth voice.
Yeah.
Cause you know, a lot of times you'll get those good voices, and his is another one of those great voices, but it's just so buttery smooth. I mean, Dark Matter Continuum, he was in some episodes of, and his character's name is Travis in that. So of course I love that. he also does a lot of voice acting. Played John Stewart a couple times in some of the DC animated stuff. Here and there, you know. What was the game series he was part of? He's done some.
Oh,
Fallout.
He was in Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Yep. Fallout New Vegas. He was on a bunch of episodes of Arrow. He's been around. He's been doing stuff since, you know, prior even to this. He started acting. 89, 90. He was in an episode of Wise Guy, so, you know, this wasn't the first time he'd been in a show with Jim Burns either. And he is very, very good in this episode, and sadly underutilized, I think, in the episode overall. And that's part of what I mean when I say, like, they focused a little more on Larka, and the more interesting story is what happened to Derek and Derek's struggle with being somebody who's very pious. He has a lot of faith, and now he's suddenly being confronted with someone who is telling him he is God and brought him back from the dead.
Right.
And wants him to kill someone, and wrestling with that. And that to me is more interesting from a character standpoint than anything Larka was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also kind of get why they don't want to maybe go too far down that road, because they don't...
Right.
It's meant to be, you know, a fantasy adventure show. And if you go too far into that character study, you may lose some people.
Right.
And at the end of the day, people, you know, you're turning into Highlander to see Immortals fight. But it's...
Mm-hmm.
But from a character study aspect, Derek is really interesting. And Roger Cross, like, he brings such a good vulnerability to Derek.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I would say the one little thing, if they could have done anything, is maybe have him have a little bit more chit-chat with the other young Immortals.
Yeah.
Trying to figure this out. I think just a little bit there would have probably answered that a little bit for you.
And,
but again,
yeah, I mean,
we got what we got.
I'm nitpicking, right? This is like, this is taking it from like really good to, you know, probably kind of a next level thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it wouldn't even be that I would necessarily change the episode on its face. I would just rearrange a few things. I would give us a little less flashback, a little less about Larka being focused on, and a little more about Derek and what's happening with him. Even more scenes with him and Larka and him and Duncan, and just really dive into that whole that whole triangle of things going on. So he's getting information from both sides and he's trying to figure it out. But, you know, it is what it is. I did like at the end where Duncan gets the postcard. He sent him to Carl Robinson.
Yeah. Again, the little name drops of not a character that we see, but one that we know. Just chef's kiss.
Well, and what's great about it, too, is it gives us an in-universe reason why we may never see him again. And then the show doesn't have to worry about, well, what happened to this kid? No, he's off with Carl. Carl's taking care of him. We're fine. Those are things that, like, early seasons didn't do enough of, because we didn't have that world built yet. And now we do.
Sure.
There was also Nathaniel DeVoe as Reverend Bell. I liked him. I couldn't find... Yeah. Couldn't find much else that he was really in. Like, he was in stuff, but nothing that really jumped out at me. But I liked him.
Right. Yeah.
And again, I liked how at the end of it, when Duncan's getting his postcard saying, you know, yeah, Carl says that that Derek's doing well, and he's got a wicked slider. And then Joe's like, yeah. And Reverend Bell says that Carl's got a great singing voice. And he's Joe roped him into being a watcher. And I love
that. That was amazing.
Because that's a that's a great continuation of the arc of Reverend Bell, because it makes the way with how well he took to learning about Immortals, it just makes sense that he would jump
in. Absolutely.
And it fits with the conversation Joe and Duncan were having earlier about, like, what makes a watcher do what they do? You just do it. You just jump in and do whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. And I did want to mention the character of Luke was played by Steve Bocic. And he's barely in the episode, but he also has a cameo in X-Men 2, X2, as Dr. Hank McCoy.
I saw that. I didn't get a chance to try and figure out where the heck that happened. Was it like something that got cut out?
No, it's on a TV screen in the bar when Mystique is at the bar, and she she takes the security guard into the bathroom and then injects him with the metal. On the screen, they're interviewing Dr. Hank McCoy. So that actor that played him, that was Luke in this episode.
All right. So right after this, I'm going to Disney Plus. I'm going to watch that real quick just to see that scene.
But overall, I mean, it's great work from the special guests.
Yes.
Roger Cross just, he just needed, again, it's that same complaint we have all the time. Just give us more. There's something good there. But what we got was really good. And Andrew Divoff is having fun. And you can tell he's having fun.
Right, and one more thing on Larka is just, I love that we got a different flavor of villain for a change. It's that he specifically sees himself as a god compared to mortal people.
Yeah.
And that he keeps doing that. And Joe even mentions, like, once you get that taste of power, it's hard to give it up. And it's like...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, we haven't had a good, like, megalomaniacal, crazy, I view humans as lesser than immortal for a while.
Yeah.
So... Yep, good stuff. Now, hey, you want to talk about some flashbacks?
Yeah, let's do it.
You must strike his head from his shoulders. Then you shall come to know the true glory of your god. I will reward you. One of you will die the noblest death in my service.
Who? Who will die?
So, flashbacks, we have two of them. They both take place in the same time, in the same location. It's Peru, around 1830. And we open up with Dunk. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, first thing, one, they do a really good transition to this. And two, I got to say, the compositing of that temple in the background
was
really well done. For like, there's times where it's like, oh, this is cheesy as heck and dated as heck. This was really impressive. Like, I was impressed with it. I was like, dang. And from two different angles, even. Like, I don't know who's doing the special effects this episode, but they earned their money well this time.
The matte painting and the compositing was really good for that because it gave those scenes a better sense of scale.
Right.
Because the rest of it is all, you know, obviously shot soundstage and close in. So give us a couple of good, all it takes is a couple of good wide shots to give us that, and it feels great. So yeah, Duncan and his guide are lost in the rainforest. They're wandering around. Paco is his guide. And suddenly there's a couple of indigenous tribesmen there. And Paco's like, we can take them. There's only two of them. And I love Duncan's reaction. Yeah, that we can see.
Right.
And immediately
a whole bunch more.
Yep, bunch more pop out. And so they're captured. They're taken to the village. And while they're there, Duncan feels an immortal, and out comes Larka. And he is dressed as he's a deity among these people. He is their god. So he invites Duncan in. They have dinner. They're sitting there talking, kind of debating the legitimacy of Larka's godhood. Get Larka... Because, you know, and... Again, there's something that's an interesting philosophy, right? Duncan's like, dude, you're not a god. And to Larka's credit, I mean, the way that he looks at it is like, well, what is a god? A god is only as strong as the faith of his people. These people worship me that way. I protect them. He's been doing it for 300 years at this point. And
but we'll see the flaw in that theory a little bit later.
But
also, so like, a little creep factor there when he's talking about old girl next to him. It's like, Sarborn, watch her grow into this woman. Like,
Let's not do that. I did actually find it really fascinating, too, that they had that that effigy on the wall that Duncan immediately recognized as they had seen immortals before.
Right.
I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
And like how he knew that, why that made him think of immortals immediately and all that kind of stuff. That was really cool. But yeah, they go back and forth and Larka's like, are you going to challenge me? To which Duncan replies, I got no reason to, just, you know, whatever. So Larka's like, okay, you can leave in the morning. And Duncan goes, I think we're going to leave now. And that's when Larka tells him, nope, sorry, your friend has been forfeit. They're going to sacrifice him because while he believes and trusts that Duncan won't say anything, what has kept his people safe for all these years is that no one knows about them. And so they sacrifice Paco.
And Duncan stands up and the wine starts taking effect that was spiked.
Yep, he got spiked. And then he is bound and restrained and forced to basically watch the sacrifice happen.
My notes here were specifically, kill Duncan's friend. Bad move.
Yeah. It never, never goes well. Never. Our second flashback is Duncan remembering a few days later. Because Larka lets him know that, like, well, the Festival of the Moon is coming up in a few days, and because Duncan's visibly upset that they killed Paco, and now he wants to challenge him and take him on.
Yeah, and now Larka's got a reason.
Yeah, he's like, I have a reason to fight you now, and Larka says, well, you know what? How about this? The Festival of the Moon's coming up. I will just take your head then and show my power to these people. So turns out that Paco had a fever, and... apparently a blood sacrifice was not the greatest idea of somebody who has a fever because that disease spread through the village.
Yep.
So when we come back in the second flashback, everybody's coughing and hacking and sick and they're burning, you know, the deceased, and the young girl is now pleading with Larka. to cure them as their
god. Yeah, Mr. God. Do something, Mr. God.
Right.
Okay.
And he sort of hems and haws and is like, and then decides finally, she convinces him to not wait until the festival to take the other man's head and show that power. Mm-hmm. So they drag Duncan out. They put him on the sacrificial slab, and Larka is going to take his head, and he believes that the quickening will heal the people, or at least that's what he says.
Which is a throwaway line, but makes me wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just enough.
I do wonder. But before he gets a chance to, we see somebody with a blowgun hit him with a dart.
Mm-hmm.
Because the villagers, they're turning on him.
Yeah.
So Duncan gets the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, well, this is not a place to be anymore. And apparently what ends up happening is that the villagers trapped Larka and imprisoned him for 100 and something years. Or whatever mm-hmm. it was. We don't really know exactly, but they turned on him.
He said he was entombed for 150 years.
Okay, entombed for 150. And so that's the main reason why Larka's got it out for Duncan now.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. 150 years entombed would fester a little bit of vengeance in my heart.
But again, is it really Duncan's fault?
Well, no, of course.
I'm the god, dude.
Right. Yeah. Of course it's not Duncan's fault. But from his point of view, it's totally Duncan's fault.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. I also liked when Duncan's talking to Joe about this, how he escaped and how he's like, if I wasn't immortal, I would not have gotten out of that jungle at all.
So, right.
Which is, just little throwaway lines like that just add to the substance of who these guys are and what they've been through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this episode did a lot of that, which I appreciated. I think overall the two flashbacks were very good. They served the story well. They gave us a really good basis for who Larka is and sort of mm-hmm. what he believes. We don't know much about him other than what Joe told us prior to him getting there.
But
he effectively came on the shore with a conquistador, found these people, was able to be viewed as he probably was discovered by them during a quickening, would be my guess.
That or they killed him in the conquistador and he came back and he was like, you can't kill me that easy, folks. And they're like, oh, you must be a god.
Either one of those. Yeah. Somehow or another. Like, and so then mm-hmm. he's with them for 300 years, protecting them and keeping them safe and secluded as their god. And so it was good. I might have shortened them up a little bit in service of, again, the whole Derek storyline, but that's me.
Sure.
Even then, it's the way that the episode is done, there's nothing wrong with them at all. And they look good,
right.
too. The mm-hmm. Again, with not just the matte paintings, which were great, because, again, that sense of scale, but mm-hmm. the costuming all looked good. And I liked seeing, you could tell that... in the present day stuff, Andrew Divoff is wearing a wig for that long hair because he's got it completely mm-hmm. shaved for all the flashback stuff. But
right,
it's good. It's really good flashbacks. I was impressed.
Yep, for sure.
Dig this. Says he was a lawyer at the time.
Interesting choice.
Really? After that, he became one of the king's royal guard. By 1510, he was a pirate on the high seas.
Then do you watch a pirate?
Well, you become one. Who says a watcher can't be a pirate?
Well, Richie is off to parts unknown this week.
Yep.
Which is fine. We had enough mm-hmm. going on that, he would have... It wouldn't have made sense to have him here.
No.
Joe's here, though, and...
Yeah, he is.
This was good stuff from Joe because, again, very similar to last week where he's just here to kind of give us some background, give us some exposition, flesh mm-hmm. some things out. He only... is in the bar, but this episode did a great job of like giving us some background of, hey, things have been crazy with the Watchers the last couple of years, and I don't have, I'm missing some people, and I don't have as much info as I once did, but I can still get what mm-hmm. you need. So I think
that line I really loved. He's like, we didn't see anything of Larka until 2 years ago, but we've had a few things going on these past couple of years. And I was like, that's an understatement, Joe.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's funny to have that knowledge of knowing what he's talking about, and that, you know, he's just using that shorthand with Duncan, and Duncan gets it. So we, as, you know, the people watching, definitely get it. So that was really cool.
Yeah. And again, wonderful exchange with him and Duncan, where they talk about Pompeii, and there's
oh my gosh, I've been waiting for that line. And I swear, I thought Mythos delivered it. So it was fun to see Joe talk about it. And it makes sense, you know. Makes me wonder what kind of records they had in 79 AD. But still, super cool to get that line from Joe and Duncan. Oh. It's just like, what? Really?
It's such a good exchange, because you got Joe giving him this information, and Duncan genuinely like, what? Come on, tell me more. Mm-hmm. Like leaning in more and more.
Right.
It was awesome. And then for Joe to, you know, we cut right to Reverend Bell sitting down with Joe and Duncan. We didn't have to have any kind of like, why are you bringing this guy here type of thing, which honestly, if with the relationship that McLeod and Dawson have, he wouldn't question him bringing somebody to the bar to find out
more. Right.
Joe would know that Duncan has a reason to do that.
Yeah. Duncan would have just said something like, he needs to know.
Yep.
And Joe looks at Duncan for like a second, and that's it. That, you know, because we know their relationship so well now and where they're at this point, we wouldn't have even needed that whole conversation anyways. So
nope, not at all. And so, yeah, I dug that. And again, it's just any episode with Jim Burns is better because Jim Burns is in it. And here he's just totally getting to be that guy.
And this, one more time, the little nuggets of talking about Watchers at the beginning, like
so good.
Like, how would a Watcher watch a pirate? He'd become a pirate. We do what we have to do the job.
And then he tells him that story where he's like, you remember,
that kid
that was in your regiment, and then he sailed with you to the new world. And Duncan's realization, like, the short kid that was leaned over the rail the whole trip. So for Duncan to have this realization that was a Watcher was just, that was so cool. I love that. Like, that's the stuff that this show got into in like seasons 4 and 5, where it was that world building, and it's little things.
Yeah.
It's all those little connective bits that make the show feel more than what it is.
Right.
So that's why the character of Joe Dawson is so great, because he brings that end of things to it.
And especially now that they're at this point where they're just buddy friends all the way. Like, you get the nuggets of the Watchers. You get the shorthand of, like, Duncan bringing somebody in and letting them in inside and to the whole immortal thing. And there's no big conversation or questioning of it.
Yeah.
And just the two of them chumming it up, talking about this or that in whatever way. It's awesome to finally see it.
Yep.
You know, in all our records, there's only one mention of an immortal killing on Holy Ground.
Yeah?
Well, it's never been confirmed. It's, I don't know, it's more of a legend. About two guys going at it in a temple in Italy. It was in Pompeii, 79 AD.
All right. Fights were, there was one main one at the end and a couple of little skirmishes here and there sprinkled throughout the beginning. One thing that really caught my attention early on was Enrique's sword. Because he had that like super wide, almost knife-looking sword that was just cool.
Yeah. It was like a, if you could have a miniature Buster sword, that's what it was.
Basically, yeah. Completely unwieldy, I'm sure, but it looked awesome. The final, we also got a mini quickening when he takes Luke's head.
I was going to say, Luke's got to be a super, like, first-time immortal, because that quickening went by fast, and Larka didn't have to recover too much.
Nope, not really.
Which makes sense with what Larka's doing, so.
Yeah. But again, that's a small thing, right? Like, that's something that we might not think about, but it makes sense that a young immortal, without a lot of experience and a lot of power, their quickening's going to be over quickly. And it's not going to drain you as much, because it's just there's not this influx of hundreds of years of experience. It's
right.
So
one more little nugget kind of along those lines that I need to bring up is, like, at one point they come to Larka and it's just the two of them without Derek. And he says, I sense only two.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so immortals can sense each individual immortal. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's a first. We knew that they could sense them, but we've never had it where they would talk about number. Mm-hmm. I think, except maybe one other time.
I don't think so, because I definitely made a note of it.
But I know
saying that. So
yeah, I know. Well, no, they haven't, because I know they've used that in the past. Although they can't tell, or at least we've never been able to tell who's who.
Right.
So I guess they've used that, but they've never been like, yeah, there's three of you or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then that last fight with Duncan and Larka. I mean, Andrew Divoff is competent with the sword, and that mm-hmm. had to be hard to do any kind of choreography in those robes.
Well, I was going to say, I think there's definitely a stunt double there. They did a good job masking it, because there was a couple times where Adrian Paul is just showing off some skills, and I was like, dang, he is really going for it a couple times just before they got under that tree.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I was Adrian Paul, I'd be showing off too.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just like, you know, lately it's been a lot of one and done, kind of simple, mm-hmm. we're not dragging out the sword fight. This one, they played with it a little bit and had some fun with it.
Yeah, they did. They did. And it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, whether it's a stunt double or Andrew Divoff in that robe, those robes and that long wig, the way that that hair was, that couldn't have been easy mm-hmm. to do. And they pulled it off
right.
great.
Yeah, for sure.
And then a real nice full-on quickening.
Yeah.
I liked in the quickening how, once again, we go from daytime to nighttime during, you know, as the quickening starts. Including even a shot of Derek reacting.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. But also, they called back to that idol, that effigy, in the quickening. Not only in the lightning, but also, like, burned into the ground. Which, right. again, I want to know more about, but, like, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely interesting, but it's like, is that part of the quickening because it was coming from Larka or whatever? But
that's the way I viewed it, was because of Larka that the quickening went that way. But I liked it. I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Again, it's interesting in a way of changing up the way we see quickenings.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a really good job, kind of like with the music, how the music isn't the same every episode and they do stuff all the time. The quickenings are not always cookie cutter. They're similar. Right. There's mm-hmm. sort of there's a theme to a quickening, but they're always a little bit bespoke. They're just yeah. different enough, and I kind of like that.
Because we've talked about the way Adrian Paul changes it up, the way he mm-hmm. acts, but
oh, yeah.
I don't think we always touch on the different ways the environment reacts.
Yeah, sometimes we get more like kind of visual effects in it. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. just a lot more of like stuff exploding and lightning hitting things.
Right.
And in this one, you kind of had a little bit of both, plus like permanent stuff in the environment, like burning into the ground and all that. So
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good stuff. This, I mean, look, this is a good episode.
Yeah.
We talked about how last week was a good tick up and how mm-hmm. we'd sort of, they weren't bad, but they weren't great or very good episodes. And we kind of bottomed out and we're like, all right, maybe we're on our trajectory back up. And this was a good step up from last week.
For sure. Because we got all these extra little nuggets of Watchers, of how immortals work.
Yep.
We had a good villain. It's funny that this episode, like last week, also kind of focused around spirituality and
yeah.
what that means to people. And it's very interesting that I like the way that they don't go too heavy into actual religion, but just deal with the spirituality of it. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you could have like the Reverend, there could have been all kinds of theological discussions that they could have just, you know, had and done. And it's like, we don't need to do that. But it's interesting how his faith affects Derek, how Derek's faith affects the way he reacts. And then even at the end, the great line of like where they're talking about, you know, do you think these people of faith, these gods throughout history could have been immortals? And Duncan's just like, nope. Joe's like, why not? And he says, faith.
And
he has faith that they are not.
And what's great is you can look at all of this through multiple lenses. Like you can look at Duncan's reaction at the end of that as, no, mm-hmm. I don't think so, because I just believe that that's not what happened. Or you can view Duncan's reaction to that of like him saying that to Joe and him saying that out loud while internally being like, I've seen it. I've seen it a lot, and
right.
I don't want it to be true.
Right. Or it's just the fact that, like, I know the difference between an immortal pretending to be something
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what people actually have their faith in. Whether it's whether he believes that God is real or not,
mm-hmm.
he knows there's always that people's faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Means something.
And look, if I had a nitpick about the episode, it's just I think that the Derek plot and the Derek mm-hmm. arc deserved more screen time than it got with
right.
with his faith, with his questioning of faith, mm-hmm. all of that. But I understand why it didn't go in that direction. It's not really right. the show's aim.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I would find that more interesting to explore, it doesn't take away from the entertainment value of this episode because you do have sure. the campiness of a great villain and your sword fights mm-hmm. in your fantasy show. So,
right.
And plus, I mean, Roger Cross is just so good. And
yeah, he is.
He really deserves to get more screen time. And then, again, we've been waiting for it since we started doing this show, the Pompeii line.
Yes.
It's so perfect. It's such a great...
Oh, my gosh.
It gives you so much... about the in-series lore in one exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I was giddy because I saw it coming and I was like, oh, this is the right. episode.
And it's like all through this series, holy ground, we don't fight on holy ground. There's yes. a reason. There are rules. You don't fight on holy ground. And we finally understand why.
Like, yeah, because the last time it happened was... coincidental or not, was something big. So
yeah,
let's not tempt that one.
Right.
So yeah, that was episode 8, Little Tin God. This is a good one. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very yeah, good episode. Next week's episode is another good one. It's episode 9, The Messenger. And I am looking forward to this one because it's got a returning character. And it's got one of the better special guests we've had.
Nice.
So I am, and it's got some immortal philosophy that I'm interested in discussing as well.
Bring it.
So I cannot wait. That is episode 9, The Messenger. That will be next week. Now, if you like this show and you want to watch us record it live, you can do that Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, twitch.tv/TVsTravis. Hang out with Ace Cat in the chat. And we love to see you in there. The show comes out on Thursdays at anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander or anywhere you get your podcast. You just search for Let's Watch Highlander and you'll find us. I am on Twitter at TV's Travis. I love to talk immortals. I love to talk pop culture. We were talking pre-show about Deadpool 3's got a release date now. We're excited about that.
Yep.
The Last of Us TV show is coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of good stuff, whether it's you want to talk about MCU stuff like She-Hulk, or you want to talk about Andor, or you want to talk about mm-hmm. you know, anything. Taskmaster's new season is coming out soon. I can't mm-hmm. wait for that. I love that show. It's spooky season. Is there some fun horror movies or games? You know, I'm all yep. about that. I love the discussions. Tag me and stuff. TV's Travis. And Audie, you're over there too.
Yep, you can find me at The Audie Norman. And I am less inclined to talk about the spooky stuff, but all the other nerdy stuff, bring it. Let's talk. Or like we did on our other podcast last night, talking about Star Trek, and just, I think we could have talked for hours
easily.
And hours about just Star Trek, because there's
yes.
so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus, Inktober is coming up, and there's some fun
yes.
out there for Inktober. I think I'm going to try and see what I can get done with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will have to ask you off air about some Inktober stuff, just so I understand.
Okay.
Because I've never been involved before. But
sure.
It's a discussion for another time. Hit us up over on the Twitters, though.
Yep.
And yeah, that is going to be the show for this week. Next week is episode 9, The Messenger. We are inching ever closer to my favorite two-part arc. I'm going to
yes.
keep saying it until we get there because I can't wait. So until then, until episode 9, The Messenger, remember that there can be only one Larka.
And Pompeii.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.